current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Many scientists predict that as climate change becomes more extreme, dry and coastal regions around the globe will be heavily impacted by drought and rising sea levels. Entire communities could disappear. The Art Project, a people's archive of sinking and melting, documents these threatened areas. The collection is made up of objects submitted by people from around the world. The items represent places that may vanish because of the impacts of climate change. Current State's Emmanuel Berry spoke with artist and archive curator Amy Balkin. Balkin started by explaining how the project works.
A People's Archive of Sinking and Melting is a project that I initiated a couple of years ago. And what I'm calling it is an archive of the future anterior, or what will have been. And what I'm asking people to do is, if they think that they live in a place which may disappear, become uninhabitable, to send me something from that place, because in the future that place will no longer exist to support it or them. So what I'm asking people to do is send me these contributions to collect these remnants of places that may disappear, but also the politics that go alongside the disappearance.
So when you say places that may disappear, I mean, what is the cause of this disappearance, or what's your understanding of why these places will disappear?
They'll disappear because of the geographic, political, economic implications of climate change. And what do those look like? Those look like sea level rise without fortification. They look like desertification. They look like the disappearance of water sources from places that have long had those. So there are different reasons that places may disappear. There are different sort of levels of disappearance, and there are different implications of disappearance. But those are really up to the participant to decide.
Where are some of the places that you've received items from so far?
So since last year, the archive contains contributions from Australia, Cape Verde, Santiago de Cuba, Germany, Greenland, Venice, Italy, Kivalina, Alaska, Mexico, Nepal, New Orleans, the Upper Ninth Ward, New York City, Panama, Peru, and Tuvalu, and others as well.
What are the objects like in the collection? I mean, they're coming from all these different places. Is there a similar theme to them, or does it kind of range the whole gamut?
There's a real variety. They range from a film that came from Ole Jorgen Hammaken and was produced by Bertrand Lozé, and this is a coming-of-age film set on the west coast of Greenland, which really talks about what does it mean for kids who are growing up in a culture that's being really impacted by climate change, already fraught and may disappear. So there's something like that, a feature-length film. There's also things that look more like garbage. There's a used toothpaste tube from Cuba. There are bricks. There's straw. There are things that have washed up on the shore. There's water from the Lagoon of Venice, and also confetti from the Venice Carnival. From Antarctica, there's a pair of crampons, which you use to hike on the ice. Also from Kivalina, there is a whale vertebra that was carved by Russell Adams Jr., who's a member of the Kivalina community, and that was sent in by Christine Shearer, who was in Kivalina to write a book about Kivalina and its situation. I mean, there are very poignant things, things that look like trash, like a black slipper that came from the Upper Ninth Ward, but there are also things that would be present in the soil there, such as shells and rocks.
Do you think that, in a sense, the items in this archive are a reflection of those global inequalities that we associate with, or that are associated with global warming and climate change?
I mean, yes, definitely. And I think there are a lot of problems with this project. And I think the question is, how deeply can you look into the project to see these problems? For example, who contributes? You know, my idea about whom I contribute is really limited to my social network. People who are living in places that may be disappearing, first of all, may not be able to access this or may not be interested. They're trying to survive, more or less.
Yeah.
Also, too, there's a question about what does an archive say politically? You know, where does the archive go? The archive has things that can move even if people can't. So this problem of preservation of the mobility of things where people can't go. So to speak about inequality, you know, people are fighting, right? You know, in the Pacific Islands, people are fighting climate change. Is this a political moment for them to contribute to an archive? Maybe, maybe not. Do those things have to be exclusive? No, but I think what I'd like to add is that, you know, there's this also a question about audience. An archive presumes a place for things that can be protected. Mm-hmm. So where would an archive exist? And also, who's going to look at this archive in the future? So it presumes an audience. It presumes a place for it. And I'm not sure what that might look like.
The archive is currently, it's stored at a library in San Francisco, but it's going to be traveling soon. If people want to contribute, how do they do so?
So people can contribute in a couple of ways. First of all, the archive is right now at the Prelinger, Library in San Francisco, which is a wonderful, wonderful independent research library that's open to anyone for research and reading and inspiration. And if anyone's in San Francisco, I highly recommend a visit there. It's a wonderful appropriation-friendly resource, and that's why I feel so happy that the archive is there right now. And if people want to contribute, if they're in San Francisco or in the Bay Area, they can drop something by in person any Wednesday through the beginning of April from 1 to 8 p.m., or if you go to sinkingandmelting.org, there's a mailing address for you to send a contribution of less than half a pound along with information about your contribution, why you wanted to contribute it, where you are, your thoughts upon where you live and why it's disappearing, and just send it, and it will join the archive, and then it will travel with the archive. The next place the archive will go is to Southern Exposure Gallery in San Francisco, and then on to New York in the fall with an exhibition called Lennon Icebreaker.
So if someone were to go to one of these exhibits, what would they actually see?
What they would see is they would see all of the different contributions completely unedited in a timeline by which they were received. And the one thing that they'll see each object on a table, the table's open, and then on the wall is a map saying showing where they're from and also having information about each object. And most importantly, what I've tried to do is I've added a piece of information about each country's UNFCCC negotiation status. So what it says is not just who contributed from, but basically what the power position is of the country that the contribution came from in terms of climate negotiating power. Because I'm hoping that the collections can talk about also what does it mean to recognize the situation and its politics, but also what is the umbrella of international negotiations that are weighing down very individually upon each contribution.
When I look at a lot of these objects, these little pieces of debris in life, it makes you feel kind of sad. I mean, what is it that you hope that people take away when they view this project?
I hope that people understand that in thinking about what will have been, this is not necessarily what may come, but one possible future. So while this may be an archive of the future, it may just be an archive of the present that points to a future that may not happen if the right action's taken.
Amy Balkin is a San Francisco-based artist. Her projects include The Public Domain, Public Smog, and A People's Archive of Sinking and Melting. For Current State, I'm Emmanuel Berry.